Welkom bij Heart Space, een podcast vol inspiratie, mooie verhalen en interviews met vrije geesten. I'm still in the south of Spain and I'm sitting in the beautiful garden full of olive trees actually with Raymond. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we had some very nice talks mm-hmm. already mm-hmm. and we were just starting this interview today.
Yeah.
The topic we've been talking about is actually the current time mm-hmm. that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
What is happening?
Yes.
What does the battlefield look like?
Mm-hmm.
And how can we kind of prepare ourselves to have a good outcome in the end?
Yes.
Which might be like the start of, let's say, a golden age, a very beautiful time with a lot of harmony, or if we don't manage to do that, it will be like a pretty hard time.
Yes,
basically.
Yeah.
So how it is for you, could you give a short introduction about mm-hmm. who you are and what is your curiosity about?
Mm-hmm. So I was born with a principal talent of being curious about what's happening underneath the surface appearance of things. And I've used that in my life in different ways. For 10 years I was in the Metropolitan Police in London, mm-hmm. Where I used this talent for 7 of those years in special operations against serious and organized crime in criminal intelligence work. And through that work I also saw the evidence that the biggest criminals never go to jail. They are the establishment. I left the police in 1989, so that's quite a while ago. And so now the times that we're living in. The times we're living in is really just exposing what's been going on since a long time. Effectively, a war was declared on we the people, or the peoples of this world. You know, the many nations of people in the 1950s, with especially at the first meeting, what they call the Bilderberg meeting in Holland, in a hotel called there. There's an interesting document which can be found on the internet, which is alleged to be from that time, called Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars.
Mm-hmm.
It's about that the battlefield is our minds or our ability to cognize reality.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very forward-thinking, very clever analysis of how technology could be developed in a way that we would be unsuspectingly have our cognition degraded and taken over by those who were very clever enough to realize this kind of research and technology. And here we are today with a sort of pandemic which fits all the things that they were talking about, and different polarizations in the communities that we all live in,
mm-hmm.
of those who blindly follow the official narrative and those who suspect there's something wrong here. Those who suspect there's something wrong are usually starting not from a rational basis, but from an inner feeling, from a deep instinct, which actually comes from the soul.
Mm-hmm.
The mind is easily deceived.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to guide how the mind sees things from this feeling. And this feeling has been lost for many people
mm-hmm.
through the education system, through all the traumas that we go through, that are put on us. I can hear some people saying, oh, conspiracy theory.
Mm.
But if they really do their research, they will find that the very use of that term was manufactured in the United States to try and discredit people who doubted the investigation into the assassination of President Kennedy,
mm-hmm.
which has still not been clearly resolved.
Mm-hmm.
So many people believe that their thoughts are their own, that they form their own opinions. They don't realize that for a very, very long time, we have had the social and technical technologies to do that, to manipulate how people think.
To influence.
And to influence,
yeah, to
how,
influence
they think.
How you think, yeah.
And the people don't realize it.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's becoming more evident. Because.
But how come that people think so differently? It's like we're actually almost like opposite of each other. They really think either this way or that way, and there seems to be nothing in between.
It depends on how you react to fear.
Mm-hmm.
There are two principal weapons that, let's say, the dark side uses.
Okay.
One is fear and the other is deception.
Those fear and deception.
Fear and deception. When people go into fear, they can't reason anyway. And we have been entrained since the end of the Second World War, particularly in the West, to become so dependent on an external authority and platform and big parent, the state, that to wake up and in a way and sort of realize that your parents are abusing you and trying to kill you even is too much of a shock for some people to take. It is understandable.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay, that's the way it is. So it falls on that part of the population that for some reason has been immune to it. Their feeling has not been completely erased and they sense something is seriously wrong.
So actually they don't comply to the fear that you should actually be feeling for,
yes, right,
the life-threatening pandemic or whatsoever.
We
don't react to that.
Yeah, but we fear is a part of our makeup. We need fear, you know, if suddenly a tiger.
Yeah, it's very handy to have fear. Why would you be swallowed?
Afraid of what might happen.
Yeah.
I might just sit here quite calmly while I'm shooting into pieces. So... but of course when it goes out of control, out of balance within us,
yeah,
then that's another situation. And we're a very sophisticated organism, you know, and we're more than we think. Mm-hmm. We actually have more power than we think,
but still there's this difference. So what has been created, kind of like the, we are each other's enemy.
Yes.
Like the human. So actually, you could say like it's a war declared to.
Yeah, I mean, part of the war,
to the people.
A tactic in the strategy, yeah, of the war, mm-hmm, against us,
yeah,
is divide and conquer, which,
yeah,
has always been. It's, mm-hmm, a classic.
Yeah.
Takes various.
Everybody
forms.
Knows. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if they can cause a mass psychosis in the population, which they're doing their best to do.
Mm-hmm.
Then they can get a portion of the population to be like zombies and attack the population that's a threat to them.
Yeah.
Because we are represented to those in fear as the threat.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think they'll get away with it, but anyway, that's what, when you look
that's
at what
the
they're
game
trying
we're
to do,
in.
It looks like it's being deliberately manipulated in that way through a completely corrupt media, which is supposed to be third arm of government or fourth arm of government, I can't remember how they phrased it, is that the media is supposed to tell us what's going on and the truth and hold those in power to account. Well, far from doing that, it is supporting them in their corruption. The political system's completely corrupt. The media and, every kind of agency and institution of the state, you know, the police, the military, the health system, there's good people in there who are also
people that are doing their best,
yeah,
to serve, but the ones,
yeah,
that, yeah.
So it's not black and white. There are good people,
mm,
in bad institutions,
yeah,
and that's what we need to be aware of.
Okay. this can be something important.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Particularly regarding the police and the military.
Mm-hmm.
The military have played, some of them played a very dark role in this. If you look at, do some research on somebody called Michael Aquino, who wrote a book about mind war, these special operations, special forces, psychological warfare.
Mm-hmm.
So just looking at him will tell you the caliber of people we're up against and their capabilities.
So the name once more?
Michael Aquino. So Michael,
like as Michael,
Michael, and how would you Aquino spell? Is, I think, A-Q-U-I-N-O.
Okay, good. Okay. Good for the researchers.
So, and the document that goes back to the Bilderberg meeting is alleged to be a document which you can find on the internet if you search for it. It's called Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars.
So basically, where are we now? Like, it started already like the 1950s, and where we are now?
So now, it seems that whether because they feel they're running out of time, or they feel that they have the technology developed to carry out their goals openly, which is to create a one-world government that rules over a feudal system managed by technocracy, that is, using things like central bank digital currencies, so and technologies where they can actually read your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is, people don't know where the technology is now these days. So if you think wrongly, or you are not doing what you're supposed to be doing, your access to food, water, shelter, and everything else can be cut off at source, your purchasing power, your central bank digital currency. So the next crisis is going to be a financial crisis. They got a serious thing up the pipeline, disrupting food supplies. So, yeah, that's so. We don't need to go into so much detail about that at the moment. Maybe
we can go deeper in that later.
Yeah.
So we have. So what are actually the forces we have? You mentioned like the dark.
Yes.
Is it like, is it internal, is it external, is it both?
It's both. We, inside each of us, is a whole array, both of good and the bad, what we call the bad. This is unavoidable. Everything has its opposite, and it has its place in creation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the question of what is the master of what? Who is ruling? Are we our true higher self enthroned within ourself, or is it some lower aspect which is not us but is part of the vehicle that we need to use in order to be here in this world? So that's the question. So really, this is a time for us to become more self-aware.
Yeah.
It's a time that's calling us to become truly who we are. Human beings were created to be magnificent, beautiful creatures. We're not a virus on the planet, as we're being educated to think of ourselves to be.
Mm-hmm.
so, yes. That's, oh, and the external forces, well, they're quite evident. We can see them. You know, there are those people who, for the moment at least, have given themselves up to being agents of the dark side. Politicians.
Consciously or unconsciously?
Consciously or unconsciously.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And hopefully more will wake up and decide they're not going to play that game.
Mm-hmm.
That we're going to take back our power as human beings.
So what can we do?
There's a whole load of things we can do. I mean, I'm doing things in the area which for one reason or another calls me, which is in the area of banking and economy. This was probably the first silent weapon for quiet war, which is been a few thousand years in the making. It's been an evolution. To really understand how it works, it will take people to recognize their capacities. Now, I'm using that word. Usually people say recognize, and it's all squished into one thing, like mm-hmm. you're recognizing something. But cognition, it's about cognition. And we need to recognize, we need to know that what we think, the reality we've been living in, it's a virtual reality.
Mm.
And this virtual reality has been created for us. It goes back to the stories of Plato's cave, when people were watching shadows on the wall and thinking that was the world.
Yeah.
This is not new.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to know what's illusion and what isn't. And many people don't doubt that the virtual reality that they're in is the reality. And that the ideas they have about money and banking and economy are unquestionable.
Like all the other things, like politics and media and so on.
It gets worse the more educated you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because mm-hmm. that means the more programming with false notions and shutting down your true curiosity and really putting you in a box that you don't see.
It actually, the only moment that I'm really aware of it is when I kind of step out of the story and go into nature.
Yes.
Go into the ocean with a kayak, or go mountain climbing, or whatsoever, or just sit somewhere in nature, because this is real.
Yes.
You can really feel that this is real, it's true.
Yes.
Well, on the other hand, it's kind of a story that's being created. Yes. It's either just a...
Because when you are going into nature,
mm-hmm.
you are disconnecting with the virtual reality within the human domain that's been created. And now you're with something. Now, you're not necessarily seeing all the reality in nature, because our physical senses are limited in their scope to even see what a tree is. But we've got to such an extent that we no longer actually see even what we could call a tree. We see a label that we keep repeating, and we're living in a virtual world of labels.
Yeah. We're just living in the mind.
In the mind.
Completely.
Yeah. So when you go into nature and you relax, and you really start to, like an artist, really, a true artist trains themselves to see what's there, not what they're projecting. One is Van Gogh, who went through some very difficult times because he had such a sensitivity and being born into a lunatic asylum of this world, he of course became crazy, mm-hmm. as we would say.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, is it crazy for somebody saying to be born into a lunatic asylum? You know, it's a bit of a a question. But anyway, he painted a series of paintings of an olive grove when he was in a mental institution. He had mm-hmm. to put himself there. And they really profoundly show the depth of his ability to perceive below the surface the currents of energy that are flowing, that form the trees and the earth and the flowers and the sky. And so it's the same when people quieten their mind and their heart, like in meditations, or with if they're doing something, some creative process, and they just go quiet and they switch off their mind, they then are in contact with something within themselves which is more able to know reality, or at least feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's what we need to bring back within ourselves to help ourselves deal with what's happening.
Yeah.
So part of what we need to do is become better able to take back our faculties. Because we're not in control of them. We're being controlled.
Mm-hmm.
So, what do you want?
And how can we prepare? I mean, this is like a very, like, let's say, an exciting time, but also a very important time. I mean, if many people just kind of don't get there and just stay in this virtual reality, which is being created by actually external entities just taking advantage of.
Yes.
Then it can go into a really bad direction. I think there's also a lot of people being aware, and they do feel something is not wrong, and some of them know what is not wrong. They haven't really been doing their research.
Yes.
Some of them don't know exactly what's wrong, but just they have the feeling. But how to, yeah, to move from here for just for the people that are kind of like aware what is happening, and they might be yeah, maybe in a way like scared, like what's going to happen if just nobody's waking up and we're being pointed at as the as the enemy or as the problem, and we will be, you know, like chased until we get this vaccination.
Yes.
So some kind of a fear can come up. How can we really, I would almost say fight, how can we, what is the fight that we have to do? Instead, the first thing you mentioned is to become aware of who we truly are.
Yes.
To step away from this virtual reality, to tap into your heart space, actually, to really feel deeper for what is true. Mm. But we still have the enemy, let's say, out there.
Yes.
And also inside of us.
Yes.
How do we prepare? How can we get to know the enemy? And how can we fight, let's say, the enemy?
It's starting to happen, I think, everywhere. Like here, people have spontaneously come together in a network.
Yeah.
And when we connect with each other as human beings,
yeah.
And we don't go along with this, what do they call it, social distancing.
I mean, social distancing.
They're doing the masks,
yeah.
The social distancing,
yeah.
Is to break down
the social structure,
our own power, to disempower us.
Yeah.
As human beings. So we actually need to empower ourselves. And we do that by coming together.
Yeah.
And
so this is also a very important aspect, actually, to come together and
to share,
to celebrate,
and to talk, and
being
to
human.
And to be human.
To be human, yeah.
And to open our hearts. Our minds will follow. Open our hearts, our inner hearts, not the hearts full of fear and base emotions. The opposite of fear is love. So this is the energy which helps us. And this is what will give us a protection. And a kind of intuition, it'll make us more sensitive about what to do now in a situation.
Actually, we discussed it before, to actually maybe to just trust.
Yes,
we have that to, we life. Life is actually, the essence of life is love.
Yes.
Is truth.
Yes.
So if we are able to step out of the story that has been created for us.
Yes.
And come together and rely on our own inner guidance.
Yes.
And then to move step by step, because nobody can, nobody knows what's going to happen. Nobody knows. I mean, everybody's like...
We are on what Joseph Campbell, who was a researcher, he researched all the myths of the world, of every culture, everywhere. And he synthesized or extracted the kind of inner template of all myths in the world from every age. And it's called the hero's journey.
Oh, yeah.
And part of that journey is going through an underworld of darkness, a kind of hell. I've been through that.
It was the death of your wife.
The death of my wife. I went into a depression. It was a dark night of the soul for me, which has lasted at least 3 years, if not more. She died in 2017, and I came out of my depression in August, 8th of August, this year, 21.
So
that's quite a while. But with hindsight, it looks like I had to do this journey through the darkness in order to clear things in myself, in order to transcend my own fears and limitations. It's a bit like a monitor when you go into the labyrinth in the Greek myth. I can't remember the name of the hero, but he goes in to meet the monitor, which is actually your shadow self. But he took with him, in order to find his way out of the labyrinth, which is the mind. a golden thread, which is the inner feeling, which will always let you get, navigate mm-hmm. the maze safely.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to slaughter, so to speak, the monster, the monitor, which was a kind of half man, half bull that ate people. So, but in a way, what happens, I think, is you're able to integrate your dark side in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
So now it is not mastering you. You're acknowledging there is this side, and that, but you have the power.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
So that's the hero's journey. We have to go through the darkness.
This is an exciting time. We're in an adventure.
But how can you create a dark night of the soul? I mean, it usually happens to you, right?
It happens
something
to you
external.
When you're ready,
yeah.
And I think we have all been through it, because of the so-called pandemic and being locked in.
Okay.
Everybody has had to face themselves.
Yeah.
I think everybody's been brought to the end.
Yes, true.
Some people, it was too terrible and they committed suicide.
Yeah.
You know? But everybody has gone through part of this process. Some have still not come out, but others have.
So actually this might be a little present.
The dark side is serving us.
Yeah, actually,
it's,
yeah.
It is calling us out to be who we truly are. And this is what happens. When the dark side raises its power, it calls out the good.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a time to really be something beyond what has ever been before. And I think this is a generation that will open the door to a golden age of human civilization.
So we actually need the darkness, we need the terror, do we really need the things that are happening now?
maybe people find it difficult to go so far, but I would say it can serve us if we take it in the right way.
If we can take it in the right way. Yeah. So this is the importance of now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We need darkness to become aware and then to kind of reconnect with the light.
Yes.
Yeah, I can completely relate to this. And like you said, that most people have already had a portion of that, at least, at the whole lockdown situation.
Yes.
So we have kind of faced our own darknesses.
Yes.
And I can also relate to that. So what could we say to the people that feel like, hey, something is not right, I don't know what it is,
mm-hmm.
but how could we empower these people?
So the first step is actually coming together at the local level. The fact that we were locked down locally is actually a very good indicator of the strategy we need to now take. We need to, as they say on the dark side, rebuild everything, but from the ground up, not from the top down. They've infiltrated everything simultaneously. So so there's every spectrum of human life has to be changed. Education, health, how financing works, how the banking system operates, how the economy works. The list goes on and on, and everybody has a talent in a key area. So for instance, one of the problems that we have is that the police and the military are being used in a wrong way to oppress the people on behalf of the oligarchies.
Yeah.
And but there are good people in those organizations as well.
Mm-hmm.
And in Spain, well, first of all, the judicial system in Spain, unlike most countries, is not corrupted like the others. The Spanish Supreme Court has declared that all the lockdown, fines, mass mandates and all that happened in 2020 is absolutely illegal. They've also blocked the implementation by the politicians of the so-called EU's green passport system in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
They've done other things. So there's an ongoing fight, but we can't leave these judges fighting this fight alone.
No.
And also in Spain, police officers of the different branches of the types of police that there are in Spain have formed an association called Police for the Liberty. Mm-hmm. Policías por la Libertad. Mm. And they encourage citizens to join them.
Wow.
And they want to work with the citizens because they say that's who we serve.
Oh, wow. This is going back to...
So we need to engage with that because what has been happening over the last decades, the police have been militarized. Wrong kind of people with psychological problems have been recruited into the police and into the military. Mm. And every opportunity is taken to create a chasm of distrust, of fear between the police and the public. Mm. And that's clearly seen now in these lockdowns. because if the dark side doesn't have agencies of law enforcement, that's their game finished. They can't enforce what they want. So we need to make sure we sabotage this tactical part of their strategy.
So we need the good people in the military, yeah, and in the police,
yes,
that really feel,
yes,
like, hey, you guys, yes, this is not... And there's many, yeah,
yes,
that are standing up,
yes,
so
yes,
we could support those people.
Yeah. There will probably be, at the moment, at two ends of a spectrum, mm-hmm, a small group. So there'll be a small group at this moment who got the courage to stand above the parapet and say, we're not having this, even though we're serving police or serving military. And they're going to start to try and find ways to work for the people instead of against them.
Yeah.
There'll be others who've been badly recruited, they shouldn't be there, who are the exact opposite.
Mm.
They are just quite happy to be mercenary attack dogs.
Yeah.
And then there's, I would say, the large majority in the middle who can be pulled either way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the danger is that some people, and it can be done by agents provocateurs, so that's security forces posing as civil society activists and encouraging people to violently attack police, for instance. Mm. And that furthers the gap. No, we must actually do the opposite and be aware of all the tricks they get up to. False flag operations, it's called. And so that's one thing. So I've joined Policías por la Libertad, and I'm going to see what we can do in Ojeda to actually give people an awareness that we're all in this together.
Yeah, and we're
stronger from the inside.
Yeah.
So the same can happen in the health sector. There's plenty of doctors and nurses who know, yeah, exactly what's going on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and
yeah,
and some are standing up. Mm-hmm. Some are being quiet at the moment, but mm-hmm, could come out.
Yeah.
And they know that basically the corrupt political system, corrupt politicians, who are just living off the money that they tax from us, mm-hmm, and just working against us, have been destroying all these institutions and undermining them over the years, mm-hmm, in every country.
Mm-hmm.
It's all the same program. So that's one thing. The other thing, we need to increase our resilience. We will be kind of attacked on what they call a false spectrum basis. So there will be problems with energy.
Yep.
Problems with food.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All sorts of problems. All, yep, at once, all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
All manufactured.
To disempower us?
To destabilize us, to demoralize us,
mm,
and to bring us to a point where we just surrender and say,
yeah,
anything's better than the crap we're going through. We'll do anything you want now, so, you know, yeah, so long as we can have a hot meal and some shelter and some peace.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right? This is actually what basically is happening.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So
how would the other way look if we would say no?
So the thing to do, which is... what we really need to do, nobody's coming to save us, only we can save ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, is, for instance, like food is very important. You know, the basic necessities of human life, food, water, shelter.
Yeah.
Medicine as well, healthcare. So we need to secure that at the local level. here we're absolutely fortunate that we have in the Apaharas so many food producers. We have food wholesalers and we have retailers, and including quite a lot that is organic, you know, healthy food production. So we actually need to secure those people. So that the lockdown is designed to kill all small to medium business. That's what it's for. So just leaving the multinational corporations having the whole field in the economy. Okay. So we must secure those, first of all, starting with food, for instance. And to do that, we need to start thinking in real economy terms, not what has been posed as economics, which is actually to do with the false system. We have to recognize what is actually true. And I'm using saying recognize because it has to be an R-E hyphen cognize. That's the true meaning. Our cognition has been so damaged, we don't know how economy actually works. And most people go to the money system and they think of the money system still in the same paradigm or box that is false. That money has value. It doesn't have value. They think that when people say, and now the central bankers themselves, who are the guardians of the false system, are even themselves sort of admitting they create money out of nothing. And that's that could be the problem. But it's not the problem. It's right that because money is something that enables us to take past production, to work in the present, to transform that past production into something new that we need. And it is the thing that which allows us to connect all these time zones or dimensions of time. So when debt is actually should be a production obligation only, shouldn't be issued for consumption, nor speculation, nor for war, for nothing like that. Should only be the total budget to produce something. And the corresponding enabling rights to fulfill that production obligation by a producer is the purchasing power, is what we call credit. That's on the credit side. It's simple bookkeeping. They know that. The dark side know that. I mean, there's plenty of documents where they talk about this. And they're very afraid that people will wake up to the truth and take back their own power to issue credit amongst themselves. They've monopolized the issuance of economic credit. And the states have all been captured to enforce their monopoly. So that's one thing we have to break. We have to take back that power. Because the true capital is our human ability, manifested as work. And that our abilities are in us, each one of us. So the true system would be decentralized, not centralized. Hence we would have no central banks. We would not have financial markets, because it's not just the banking system that is wrong, is actually a nexus of accounting, economic accounting, which we call banking, and financial markets to buy and sell the debt created from the fraudulent accounting that they do to steal our credit. Because the real fault of the banks is, instead of issuing the purchasing power or the credit to the producer, they issue it to themselves on their own balance sheet. And then they rent it out at compounding rate of interest. Compounding, anything which is a compounding rate is exponential, so it's unpayable anyway. So, and by making it short supply the purchasing rights, they get us chasing money, as if money's the thing. Money's not the thing. The thing is what we can deliver. The best description of economy that I've come across is in the New Testament, and it says at 1 Peter 4:10, whatever gifts you, or whatever talents you have been gifted, use them in service to one another, like good stewards dispensing the grace of God in its various forms. So that's what, now that's the real definition of what economy is.
That's economy.
And if we had a transactional system which allowed us to mutualize our gifts to each other, it would be completely different from the present one, which is just there to extract and parasite off our work.
Yeah.
So, and we even have clues in the very word economy. The ancient Greek word for money wasn't money as we know it. And it's even in, still in use today by the Greeks, but they don't see its significance. It's nomos. And nomos in Greek is law. Aristotle's well known of saying money by nature is law. Because it's, that's true. That's how it's originated. It's it's an accounting system which is regulating reciprocity as a form of law in economics. Okay, so it's, this is something we will have to take up later, because there's a lot for people to take in.
Yes.
Because it goes contrary to everything they think.
Everything
is real
learned.
That they understand. Yeah. Yeah. What they understand is rubbish.
Mm.
Barter was never the precursor to a monetary system that has been taught and still today. So, yes, so getting back to the word economy. So economy is two Greek words, oikos, nomos. So we know nomos is law, oikos is the household, but it also means the community, the society, the polity, the city-state. So it is the law of regulating the city-state. So money is in the domain of law, and a purchasing power, what we call money, is a purchase means to take hold of. It's like a requisition, and that has been issued because somebody's undertaking an obligation. Obligations and rights are the two dimensions of law. It's all law. So we have to get out of the wrong paradigm. It's not, people are using interesting technology that could free us because it can't be taken down, which is distributed ledgers, you know, this where you join up lots of computers in a network and create a calculating power to do double entry bookkeeping. And the only way you can take it down or falsify it is to take down the internet, which they can't do because they rely on. But anyway, we also need to think of creating our own internet, completely different architecture to the one which is now in place.
Mm.
All these technologies came out of military research and development, which we paid for.
Okay, yeah.
And the intention was always to enslave us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the phones that we carry are our own surveillance devices. We paid for that research. You know, Apple didn't invent all the components that go into the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
That all came out of a secret military research and development.
Research and development, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we need to change the issuance of purchasing power from things which harm us, that twist humanity, that destroy the planet. I mean, they've got so many games on the boil, like the climate change thing that they're going through, that carbon dioxide is the problem, which allows them to create a new financial market system based on carbon trading, and all the propaganda going into and the buying of scientists and academia is coming from the bankers. They are, in the meantime, polluting everything. They're spraying barium, aluminium, in nanoparticle size into the atmospheres. They are irradiating us with more. I mean, they're putting up thousands of satellites into near orbit for their so-called 5G Internet of Things. But it's not just the Internet of Things. It'll be the Internet of Bodies. So
yeah, and that's where it gets really scary.
That's, yeah. So, you know, and you only need to look at the patents that are publicly available to see that this is not conspiracy theory, this is a conspiracy fact.
It's
So, yeah, before I go too far, I'll stop there and let you ask a question.
Well, actually, maybe it's good to finish it here, because, yeah, one of the most important things, as you say, and what is also your passion, is the whole banking and financial system, and you're also working on it. I can imagine that many people expect like something like a crash of the financial system.
Yes.
Many people are also wondering, well, like, what should I do? I've got money in a bank.
Yes.
Should I keep it there? Should I take it off? Do I need cash? Do I need bitcoins? Or do I have, what do I need? So people are really like confused.
Yes.
So maybe it's good to, to go deeper into this subject.
Yes.
Of how it works.
Yes.
And what could be like, you know, an easy step-by-step guide.
Well, for the future, just to give some hope. The easy solution, if you've got a crooked accountant, you create your own accounting system and you use that and you make an exodus, like the Hebrews leaving Pharaoh's Egypt and going to the Promised Land. We exit their system and go into our own accounting system. And we've got the technology is available.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is people are like monkeys who are trapped. How they trap monkeys when they're hunting them is they bore a hole in soft rock. In Africa, for instance, they do it by vases in Asia with a narrow neck, and they put a fruit at the bottom, and the monkey puts his hand in to grab the fruit, but he can't pull his hand out when he's holding the fruit because mm-hmm. it's too big.
Yeah.
And then the hunter's coming along and the monkey won't let go of that fruit, and so he's trapped.
Yeah.
And he's slaughtered. By hanging on to false paradigms, that's what's happening to humanity. We're trapping ourselves. We need to let go of the rubbish.
Yeah.
And we need to understand the reality.
And do you think, this is the last question, because it's also really getting dark.
Yes.
Is this easy to do? Or do you kind of expect like it's going to be like a period of complete
chaos? It'll be a rough ride.
It'll be a rough ride,
but
yeah.
Each of us are individually responsible and have to fight this battle within ourselves.
Yeah.
It's like an energetic virus, parasite, which has got into the human energy system.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start to try and reveal the truth, this parasite reacts and tries to divert you and not want to hear or creates pain at first.
Yeah.
Our very neurons have been linked together to hold false ideas.
But this is the dark night of the soul we were talking about earlier. We need to look at it. I mean, there's too much evidence from... I mean, they try to keep it away, but there's too much evidence for all these aspects. So we need to look into the...
We have to
the darkness, into the truth of this present moment.
We have to cross out... We have to get out of our comfort zone.
Yeah.
Which is where we are just...
which actually is already a discomfort zone.
Somehow. But
it
will be a discomforting process to get back our true cognition and our true power.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're undoing generations of programming.
For our next interview, we'll go deeper into...
Yes.
It's going to be a rough ride, but what are the steps to be taken one by one that we can do collectively, but also like as each one of us, like individually?
And every step we take in that direction, we start to feel our true self, and that is motivation enough.
Yeah.
You know, that really, we feel much better, even though we know it's uncomfortable, we really feel empowered.
Yes.
And really who we are.
I can also relate to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, almost like how bigger the pressure, how bigger the freedom when you come out.
Yes,
kind of. Yes. Yeah. Okay, so Raymond, thank you so much for today.
Yeah.
And let's continue the next episode.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Very good.
Okay.